Hello everyone, and welcome back to the Nutrition Nourishment Podcast, a podcast where I talk my guests through their nutrition journeys. I'm Amelia, and your host of the Nutrition Nourishment Podcast. I'm currently a student nutritionist, recently graduating from the University of Leeds in Food Science and Nutrition with an international year, and have begun my master's at UCL in Clinical and Public Health Nutrition. While I'm working towards my accreditation, I am not yet an accredited nutritionist. Nothing which is said on this podcast should be taken as personalised nutritional advice. If you would like nutrition advice, you can contact a registered nutritionist or dietitian or your GP. Other resources available to you include the NHS and the BDA website. Now, let's get on with the podcast. I am delighted to welcome Kelly today to share her journey so far in nutrition. Kelly has a background in marketing with a passion for food, which has led her to slightly change her career path into nutrition. Kelly started with associate study at Oxford Brookes University, which has led her to a master's program in human nutrition at St. Mary's University, which she has recently graduated from. Today we talk about her work and her volunteering experience, her master's degree, and what is next for Kelly. Welcome to the Nutrition Nourishment Podcast, sharing our journeys.
Hello, Kelly. How are you today?
Hello, I'm good, thank you. Thank you so much for having me on.
Thank you so much for being a guest. I know you have a really interesting journey and I can't wait to talk to you all about it today. But would you first tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yes, so my name is Kelly Fleetwood. I live in London, but was originally from Gloucestershire. So I've gone from country girl to city girl. I've been studying nutrition for the last 2 years. And before that, I was actually in marketing. And outside of any work, I'm a bit of a foodie. I like to be outdoors. I like scuba diving, hiking, and I love cooking as well.
Wow, that sounds exciting. And so your career began in marketing. And then where did your journey start in nutrition?
So I wouldn't say there's a pinpoint moment that I can think of that sparked everything off. I worked in a tea room actually when I was 16. And it was very focused on fresh food, on seasonal produce, local businesses. And I think that for me was the first time I'd seen that side of food. So my mum cooked a lot. We're a family of foodies completely, but I actually probably tried a lot of new food through that job, I'd say, and just fell in love with food. But it was never something that I thought I would go and study. I had absolutely zero intentions of working in it or studying it at all. It wasn't even really on my radar. I went to uni and studied marketing in Bournemouth Uni and loved that career. It involved a lot of travel. I'm a bit of a people person, I'd say. So it involved working within big teams, and I'm quite results focused, and it gave me that side of things as well. So I really like the commercial side of things. But then it got to a point about 3 years ago where I realized that actually I felt like I was more than just a foodie. I really enjoyed learning about nutrition. And I started to follow some nutritionists on Instagram. I think I was probably reading a few books and magazines related to nutrition, and just got to a point in my career where I felt like I wanted to help people a bit more, just give back a little bit. So started to research different ways of getting into nutrition, and then one thing led to another and it happened.
Wow, that sounds like a really exciting journey. And it sounds also like you really enjoyed your career before in marketing. It just, that something didn't feel quite right. And I love that you started to read around nutrition, explore what others were doing, reading those magazines, and really all of that inspired you to go back and study nutrition again. So would you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, definitely. So when I was researching, initially, I was thinking that I could be someone that did a short course in nutrition. But then I think I spoke to a few registered nutritionists or associate nutritionists and just did a bit more digging and realized that actually, if I wanted to go into this properly and I wanted to be an evidence-based nutritionist, then really I needed to comply with what the Association for Nutrition. So it very quickly dawned on me I was going to have to go and do an accredited course, which on the whole means doing a degree. So I already had an undergrad degree, and I'm at a stage in my life where I've got a wedding coming up, I've got a mortgage. It wasn't completely financially viable for me to go and do a 3-year undergrad degree. And to be honest, nor did I particularly want to. I've done that once. Mm. So I looked into master's degrees and felt very excited about the fact I could not only then kind of take less time out of my life to do the master's degree, but also it was actually at a higher level than an undergrad degree. So mm-hmm. it felt like a win-win for me.
Yeah.
But it wasn't plain sailing. I applied for, I think it was 5 master's degrees at different unis, all in human nutrition. Some, I think, had more of a public health skew on them, but at this point, I didn't really know what type of nutrition I wanted to go into, so that was fine. And I got instantly rejected from all 5, which was a bit of a low blow. I wasn't completely surprised, but I had hoped that someone might see some potential in me.
Yeah, it's tough.
It is tough. It is tough. But I think actually looking back, it's tough for a reason, because the master's degree that I'm on now is very tough. And actually, had I just gone straight into it, I think it would have been a big shock to the system. But I was so determined to do it that I basically wouldn't take a blanket no as an answer, and I was quite persistent. I rang up all the unis that rejected me and just tried to understand a bit more about if there was something I could do as prerequisite study before getting onto the master's. And I think I heard back from 1 or 2 unis, but the most responsive uni was Oxford Brookes Uni, and it turns out they offer something called associate study, which is essentially the option to do modules from the undergrad nutrition degree, which they then see as being what you would lack by not doing the undergrad degree, but you would then cover the rest on your master's degree. So it bridges the gap between having no science background and then being able to go on and do the master's. So I did that for 9 months. I did 4 of their undergrad modules. 2 were in anatomy and physiology, which was the biggest shock of my life, because I did a psychology A-level, but other than that, no other science A-levels. So that was very brand new. And then the other 2 modules were more nutrition focused. So it was a really tough year, but an absolutely necessary year, because without that, I wouldn't have had the knowledge to get onto the master's. And then a few months before finishing, I started to apply to the master's degrees that I'd applied to before. And sure enough, 4 out of the 5 accepted me.
Wow.
So I'd finally got there. Took a year later than I'd wanted. But like I said, I wouldn't have changed it now, because I think going on to the master's degree without that knowledge, I probably would have ended up giving up anyway, or maybe not even being able to continue because my grades weren't high enough, because I just didn't have the background. So actually, I'm glad it worked out the way it did now.
Wow, that all sounds amazing. And you've clearly got a lot of perseverance. I think that is great advice, getting in contact with the universities, because sometimes it's not right at that stage in your life. And maybe you hadn't realised at that point a master's wasn't right, but they knew you needed a bit more to get onto it. And by asking them, that opened up a new door for you. And absolutely, it may have been 1 year down the road, but it still happened for you. And maybe was it a more enjoyable experience, do you think, because you had that extra knowledge?
100%, yeah. And I loved my time at Oxford Brookes as well. I made a lot of friends, you know, hearing from lecturers who've been either professionally practicing for years or lecturing for years, just such smart people. It was the new experience and the new challenge I needed, I think, after several years in marketing, which I still found challenging, but this was just completely different.
For sure.
But yeah, I think the first few months of Oxford Brookes were the toughest by far. It was just the shock of it all. It was going back to uni after 8 or 9 years having not done any studying, which is a big shock, because you almost just forget how to study, how to revise. You're dealing with a different time management. It's a different structure to your day. It's different deadlines, different demands. So it was tough. But I think having got all of that out of the way, in a sense, and then being able to go on to the master's degree already feeling a bit more equipped to be a student, meant that I could really just hit the ground running and focus on the content and the deadlines, as opposed to being a student again. So that probably helped a lot.
Yeah, for sure. It's a lot of self-time management, isn't it? Because you might have a deadline for 6 months down the road and you're like, I need to plan this all out to make sure I'm not doing 6 months worth of work within one.
Definitely.
And I think it's really great that you've shared with us a different path. Going back to, you didn't have science at A-levels apart from psychology. And I was actually the same. I did take chemistry at A-level when I took psychology, and that was enough for me to get onto nutrition as an undergraduate. But quite often they do require biology. So I had to really go in and have a look and show my passion and do other work to show that I wanted to study nutrition. But it is great to see that there are different paths. As you said at the beginning, I really want to go back to that. There is no shortcut. If you want to be an accredited registered nutritionist, there is no shortcut. The AFM website, and they have loads of advice.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think when it comes to nutrition, and I'm sure it's the same for a lot of sciences, it's actually a case of the more you know, the more you realize you don't know, because you are opened up to the world of this very complex science. So you do have to be cautious.
Oh, completely. It is tough. And as you said, that it comes in with that importance of sharing evidence-based information, because everyone is so unique. And that's why you need to be really careful about giving advice. And that really comes into having that experience. I think it's 3 years experience you need from when you become an A-nutrer, an associate registered nutritionist, to when you can transfer to that registered nutritionist title, because that experience and that real life setting is so valuable in being able to talk with people and explain that knowledge that you have.
Yeah, definitely.
So talking a little bit more about your studies, what have you most enjoyed about studying nutrition the past year or two?
Good question. I'd say probably the really sciencey part of it, actually. Maybe because I hadn't originally been from a science background, just an appreciation for the body. As cliche as it sounds, yeah. I think the two modules I did in anatomy and physiology at Oxford Brookes just really made me sit back and go, wow, our bodies are very complex, and just all the different mechanisms in terms of how your hormones work and how the cardiovascular system works, all of that, and how it just keeps going is really impressive. So I think I really like anything to do with mechanisms that involve nutrition, yeah, and understanding why certain things are recommended. I'd say that part. Mm. The other thing I'd say is that I feel like I've really connected with a lot of people on the two different courses I did, so both at Oxford Brookes and where I am now, which is St. Mary's in Twickenham, because I feel like I'm amongst like-minded people who really love nutrition, but not just the food aspect of nutrition, but the science behind it as well.
Yeah.
And I feel like people that go into it generally are there because they want to help people too. Mm. So it's just a really nice bunch of people.
For sure, it is such a lovely community. And I've definitely found that over the past few months where I've really been starting to reach out and network and connect, there is so supportive and lovely, and people just give you such valuable advice. And it's definitely something that I've been taking on board. And coming back to the science, it's one of the things that I'm most interested in. As I was saying earlier, studying chemistry at A-level was, I loved chemistry. It was actually something that I was thinking going into as a degree. But what I wanted to do was, as you say, help people and really apply that knowledge. And throughout your experiences within nutrition, have you got much work experience or volunteering? And where have you gained all of this?
Yeah, so I actually did some volunteering a couple of years before I started studying nutrition. I volunteered for a children's cooking club in Clapham, which I can't actually remember how I got into it, but I loved it. It was just a chance to really get kids interested in food and educating them on nutrition, which is something that I didn't have at school. And seeing the excitement on the kids' faces when they'd like tried a new vegetable or, you know, helped to cook a recipe was really nice. And it was something that just popped up, and the program didn't run for that long, but that was the first time I'd kind of dabbled with working in that area. Then when I was at Amazon working as a marketing manager, I worked on the corporate wellness team. So that was to some extent related as well. And then when I had enrolled onto my courses at Oxford Brookes, I was actually part-time working for a registered nutritionist as well. So Rhiannon Lambert, at her company, Retrition. Yeah. So that was, I'd say, although I'd kind of done a couple of bits before, that was my first real insight into the nutrition industry. And that involved lots of things. So there were some aspects of the role that were very nutrition heavy, which was great. And I loved it. I was a lot helping to manage the press pieces that we were supporting, helping to manage the podcast, the YouTube content. But then on the other side of things, I was also helping on the more business end. So things like the clinic and production schedule and things like that. So it was a very varied role and it was great. And I met a lot of different people from various different backgrounds and professions. And it really has set me up quite well now for where I'm at now, I think, which is starting to think about what I do post degree, which is scary, but exciting.
Oh, that is exciting. And taking it back to when you were talking about the Children's Cooking Club, that sounds like an incredible thing to be a part of and to give back to the community. I think giving children simple cooking skills is really important, and being able to give that back to the community is an amazing experience. And then, as you say, you developed on that and you built on your knowledge, and then you ended up working for Rhiannon Lambert, and that must have been an incredible experience because you were then immersed in the nutrition world. And I think it's really cool how varied the job was and that you got every different part of the side of nutrition.
Yeah, I think the child nutrition, the cooking classes that you mentioned, I'm still really passionate about that side of things. And having specifically chosen a lot of child and toddler nutrition assignments and modules in my master's now, and actually it's a lot about how you sort of talk to them, and you can sort of role model in front of them and things. So I really like that that's got a lot of potential as an area. But also, a lot of people don't know how to cook, and that's why on my Instagram page, I didn't necessarily intend for this to happen, but I really find myself wanting to show that cooking doesn't have to be a really complex thing with a million different ingredients, because actually I think that's what puts a lot of people off. I think a lot of people think that cooking is following a recipe, having to have a million different spices in your cupboard. I just think it's a balance of what you've got available, and I think I really want to make people less scared of cooking and a bit more comfortable and confident with it, because I think that sets you up really well, actually, regardless of what your favorite foods are and, you know, whether you like certain types of vegetables or not. I think if you can just feel confident in the kitchen, use what you've got at your disposal, not feel the need to make perfect meals every single time, I think that can go a long way.
For sure. And as you said, simplicity is sometimes best, just putting together a couple of ingredients. And it's one of the reasons that I wanted to get onto Instagram, because I'm aware of my background. Like, I cooked since I was young with my mum, and then I went into a chefing experience with my nutrition background as well. I was aware that I was building up this knowledge, but I wanted to make that accessible to people. So it's, if you have a look out there, there is quite a few tips and advice. And I think the most important thing I find when I put together a recipe is putting in tips of, you could swap this out for this, or put in something that you like. Yeah. And I think via this podcast, I've learned about a few things like Love Food, Hate Waste and websites like that. And they've got loads of recipes in there, which is advice on how to use up the last pieces of food in your fridge or food. And I thought that was amazing to have found that useful resource.
I'm a huge leftovers advocate. Huh? almost like, I know that a spaghetti bolognese wouldn't typically have broccoli in it, but why not? It's the balance of having a meal that looks impressive or maybe has plate appeal, but actually also, as we said, using what you do have available, not throwing food out for the sake of it, just feeling confident in the kitchen, a bit creative.
Yeah, and food and cooking, we hope for it to be an enjoyable experience. So it's all about promoting that and the leftovers. And because sometimes you don't have the time, so maybe batch cooking, using your freezer. Yeah. One of my favourite things to do at uni was always, I'd cook a big dinner, maybe pasta for dinner, and have leftovers for lunch the next day. Maybe I'd chuck in some extra veg the next day or have something slightly different, but I would always incorporate that for like the next day. And there's so many great tips like that out there. I'll have a think and maybe put some more resources under the links below in this podcast.
Yeah, that would help people a lot, I think. think.
Yeah. For sure. Wow. So we've spoken about your studies, your master's experience, your volunteering, and then your work experience. And you mentioned earlier that you're just currently about to finish your master's and you're working on your dissertation. I know it's possibly quite a big and daunting topic right now because you are coming to the end, but would you share a little bit with us about that?
Yeah, definitely. So we are speaking in the time of the COVID-19 pandemic, which meant that our research topics had to change slightly. So initially, myself and my lovely dissertation partner, Lauren, were working on a study that involved giving people kefir, so fermented milk kefir, for around a month or so, and seeing if it had any impact on their sleep, because we know that there is something called the gut-brain axis, where our gut and our brain are linked, and it's a bi-directional relationship, so they both affect each other. And there's some emerging research showing that not only can it help with things like potentially anxiety, depression, mood, memory, but also another physiological aspect of it is sleep. And sleep is at the moment a very big topic, the fact that a lot of us just aren't getting the sleep that we need for various reasons. And so there could be potential for food to play a role in that. Definitely not the be-all and end-all, but just one aspect of helping to improve sleep. So we planned this experiment, we submitted our proposal, and then quite sadly, the week that we got our mark back, and we were very happy with our mark, we were told that we couldn't do it because it involved people and it involved administering food. Yeah. And under uni guidelines, which I assume is the same everywhere, it's not ethically okay to do that right now, which completely makes sense. So we actually had to change the topic and format of our project a few months in. And now we are doing a systematic review of any other studies that have looked at the impacts of probiotics on sleep, because we had to broaden it out a bit. So kefir hasn't actually been tested as such yet in terms of its impact on sleep, which is why it was so exciting. But because we're now doing a systematic review and looking at studies that do exist in that area, we've had to broaden it out to just probiotics in general. And the goal is to pull together a summary of what we know so far about the link between probiotics and sleep and suggest future areas for research. But yeah, so that's due, and then I'm back out into the world of work again. So I'm still figuring out exactly what I want to do, and I think having changed career paths slightly, going back to being a student, it's taught me a lot about what I like and what I might want to do moving forward. And at this stage, I think if I had to make a decision today, it would be to probably take a role within food industry, I'd say, because I think I do miss aspects of the corporate world, whether it's marketing, branding, a pure nutrition role, something in that field that still has a nutritional aspect to it, but is a bit more commercially led. But on the side, I'd also quite like to keep moving forward with what I assume you would call a nutrition business. It sounds very strange saying that, but basically self-employed nutrition work that I'm due to launch my very first website soon, which is scary but exciting. But yeah, I'd probably like to do that on the side as well. And yes, we'll see how it all pans out.
Well, as you say, it is a very varied field and there's quite a lot to go into. I remember when I first decided to study nutrition, possibly one of my biggest fears about it was that I had made up my mind that my career was going to be in nutrition. I remember speaking to one of the professors at Leeds University, which is where I ended up going, and they said, but there are so many jobs and so many experiences within nutrition. And it's one of the reasons that I decided to study food science and nutrition as my undergraduate, to really expand my options. But it is such a varied field, and by choosing to go into this degree, there are so many more options than you could ever realise available to you.
Definitely. That's what I like about it as well. That's actually one of the other reasons that I wanted to change from what I was doing before, because as much as I did enjoy it, I've realised that I really need variety in a lot of aspects of life, but definitely in work as well.
Yeah.
So I think in my head at the moment, the balance of maybe a food industry role where I can hopefully have a nutritional impact on a very wide scale and more of a public health way, balanced with some freelance work where it's a bit more specific and I'm working with people one-on-one, maybe it'll be a mix of writing, you know, maybe some recipe development, maybe some consulting. I think I want that variety, especially at the early stages of my nutrition career path.
Sounds really exciting.
Yeah, I just hope it all works out really. So just being flexible, I think, will be key.
Just putting in that hard work and that passion, that love for it, it will come together in the end. I also wanted to say about your dissertation topic. That's actually really similar to my dissertation topic from...
Oh, really?
Finished. Yeah, so I did a systematic review and my one was on the effect of probiotics and prebiotics on gut health in NAFLD patients. So that's very little, but it was so interesting and so much ongoing research. And it's fascinating to find out all these links which are coming out. And it's why I love doing CPD and continuing research. It's one of the reasons I decided to go into my master's next, because I was like, I'm not finished with really getting involved and doing research and, you know, that whole sciencey part behind it.
Yeah, for sure. I think the master's, I think before I did the master's, I thought it would be just somewhere to get loads of knowledge about nutrition. And obviously it is that. But actually the main part of a master's is teaching you how to critique, how to be skeptical, how to identify where things need improving, pulling lots of different studies together and making your own view on it. It's that balance with what else is out there and then bringing all of that together and saying, okay, well, based on everything that's out there, we think this. So yeah, I think that's the thing. If that's what you're after, the master's will definitely give you that.
And I guess something that we've touched on a little is Instagram. You mentioned your page. So talking about social media, and as you said, when you worked with Rhiannon, that you did a bit of press, you did a bit on her podcast, her YouTube, and obviously the media and social media does have an impact on nutrition in terms of the information that is out there. So how has your experience been with the media and social media?
So my Instagram page, I started it about 3 years ago purely because I used to share recipes on my personal page and I felt like maybe some of my friends were getting a bit sick of me bombarding them with food. That was purely the only reason that I started up a separate page called Kelly in the Kitchen, where it was just that, like, as the title suggests, it's me in the kitchen and it was me experimenting with different recipes and sharing that. And I just assumed that then my friends who liked that could follow it. I could maybe then have other people that liked that to follow it, and that's just where it started. But I think since studying nutrition, I've really felt like I want to make the things that I've learned accessible to people, because I think that not so much advice, because as we know that really comes down to the individual, but more just facts, perspectives, some tips, things like that, because it's just not that easy to get it. And obviously you can pay for a nutrition consultation, which I think is amazing. I've had one myself before to experience what it was like, and it was genuinely so helpful, and I wish that everyone could do it. But
wow.
Yeah, well, I wanted to see what they were like and what happened in them. And, you know, I've gone on to do training in it since then, and it's something that I'm going to start up myself soon. But I am very aware that it is a privilege. Not everyone can see a nutritionist or a dietitian. So I think that's something I try to achieve with my page. But yeah, to your point around it being a good and a bad thing, I could not agree more. I feel like in one way, I really want to be on Instagram, because I know it's a platform that a lot of people use, and therefore I think it should be the likes of qualified people that are on there sharing information, so that at least the knowledge they're getting is evidence-based and it can help to counteract some of the stuff out there. And also the great thing is it's such an easy way to connect with people from a professional point of view. Just, I mean, we met over Instagram, right? There's so many opportunities to connect with people, so I think ultimately it's a great thing. But I do see the real dangers with there not being enough regulation there. I would say whether it's a blog, it's a podcast, it's a magazine feature, it's a press piece, whatever it is, try and find out if that person is registered with the AFN. Are they an associate nutritionist, so an A-Nutra? Are they a registered nutritionist, so an R-Nutra? Or are they a registered dietitian? With a dietitian, it's slightly easier because they have to be registered. It's highly regulated.
It's a protected title.
Yeah. But that would be my first piece of advice. Don't just take something you read at face value just because someone says they're a nutritionist. And then secondly, I'd say know the right websites to go to. So websites like the NHS, nutrition information on there will be evidence-based.
I think something important that you've brought up is that nutritionist is not a protected title. I know that there's a few petitions going out there to try and get it to be protected, like dietitian is as a title. So obviously looking for the letters A Nutra and R Nutra after someone's name, as you said, yeah. But then looking at the register, which will be on the AFM website. And it's just important to be aware of, isn't it?
Definitely, yeah.
I know we've just touched on this. So for you, what is next is going into the food industry, hopefully, your own business. Do you want to quickly touch a little bit more on what's next for you?
Yeah, well, to be honest, I'm still figuring it out. I know that I want to go into, like I said, a food industry role. I don't know if that would involve going back into more of a marketing role like I did before, or some kind of branding role, or actually if it would be a straight up nutritionist role. But I definitely think that my skill set and experience from before I started to study better suited in a kind of a company setting as opposed to me going freelance from the get-go. Also just for personal reasons as well, and how my work I think will look for the next few years. But also I am really keen to have the freelance and self-employed work running in parallel to that, because yeah. I feel like that's where I can really be a bit more picky over the projects that I work on, and the knowledge that I gain and the experience I get, and just being able to dabble in a few different areas. I'm passionate about making that happen as well. Obviously within reason, I don't want to be running myself into the ground, but yeah, that's the plan. And we'll just have to see how it will take shape, I suppose, in the next few months.
Yeah, it all sounds really exciting, and good luck on finishing your dissertation and your master's. And as a final question, could you sum up for us in a sentence, a few words or a quote, any advice that you would give to people on their journeys in nutrition?
Yeah, I would say probably two big things. One is perseverance. Don't assume that if you get a no or something looks like it won't happen for you initially, don't give up, because I think with all the tech that exists out there these days, and I think there's just so many options out there now for building the career that you want and the work that you want for yourself. So I'd say perseverance, don't give up, see what options are available and see which ones work for you. And then the second thing I'd say is network. And it's the same in the industry I was in before as well. Just make connections, hear more about other people's backgrounds, because often the more you hear, the more it gives you inspiration and ideas to go on and do something else. Also, opportunities will just come up from knowing people, and you can't even predict what they would be or when they'll happen or what they'll be or who it will be that says it. But in my experience, a lot of the jobs I've had actually have come from who I've known. It's purely from having a network of people from all these different backgrounds and disciplines. And yeah, you just never know what's around the corner. You never know when someone might pop up and say, oh, I heard on your Instagram page that you're doing this. I've just heard that this person has this available. And I think often those bring about the best opportunities. So yeah, I'd say that's the second thing, is just network and ask questions.
That's brilliant advice. So perseverance and really becoming part of the community, because as you say, on your journey, there are lots of twists and turns, and you never know what's around the corner.
Definitely.
Well, thank you so much, Kelly, for being here today and sharing your journey with us. If you don't follow Kelly already, you should definitely go check her out on Instagram at Kelly in the Kitchen.
Thank you for having me. It's lovely to chat.
Thank you so much, Kelly, for joining me and sharing your journey and experiences with us. Today, I've learned to not give up and to keep working hard at the things that you love. And thank you to all of you who have joined me on the journey of this podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, I am sure that you will love next week's journey, which is our last one of the series. So make sure to hit the subscribe button to be one of the first to hear. And if you love hearing about others' journeys as much as I love to share them, please give this podcast a 5-star review. It will help us to reach more people. I wish Kelly and all of you luck on your journeys. I hope you join me next Sunday to discover more journeys in nutrition.